The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Matt Brown will join us a little later on. We hope. You know, we try. We want Matt to be a part of it. We'll see if it's a day he can squeeze us in.
He's got a busy day.
Co-host of The Handle here at VSiN. And our old primetime action buddy as well. Yet to kick a field goal in our field goal contest. Still waiting. Will Hill will join us, VSiN's own Will Hill. His baseball bets for the day, what he's thinking NBA Finals-wise and beyond. What he thought about the MVP vote in the Eastern Conference as well. But now we're joined by a gentleman who is kind enough to join us most each and every Wednesday, certainly during football season. It's each and every week here on the show. Talking about VSiN's own Mike Pritchard, he's a current college football champion, because he will always be that.
Yeah.
For goodness sakes. The University of Colorado, former first round pick, of course, in the NFL. How you doing, Pritch?
I'm doing well. They can't take it away from you. That's what they tell us after you win a championship, right? They can never take it away from you.
That's right. Can never take it away from you. Let's start with wide receiver diva news. Tyler Boyd says the Bengals would have beaten the Chiefs were he healthy. You believe that?
I mean, no, it's not all about him. Yeah, I get it, you know, but he's a good player, a contributor. But no, that Patrick Mahomes beat them. I don't care if Boyd would have went off in that game, you know, certainly. But no, that was all about Patrick Mahomes. So, and just his tenacity, right? I talked to Eric Bieniemy about this recently, Gil, and, you know, he talked about how competitive Patrick Mahomes is. I mean, it's off the charts. When you hear and see the quotes about money doesn't matter, that is true when it comes to Patrick Mahomes. All he wants to do is win championships, and that's the driving force of the Kansas City Chiefs right now.
Pritch, it's just me and you talking here. Nobody else is listening. What else did Eric Bieniemy tell you? Like, did he tell you who the starting quarterback is going to be, how new ownership's going to go? What did he tell you about that?
No, he didn't say anything like that. Mm. He's eager to find out. He's going to find out, though. He's going to put him to the test, Gil, if you know what I'm talking about right there. So.
Yeah.
They're gonna be eager to find out who's gonna step up and be the quarterback there.
Sam Howell, Jacoby Brissett, catch the fever. Let's change the name before everything. The big wide receiver in the news, of course, is DeAndre Hopkins, mm-hmm. who is available now. I'm sure he wants to, and he has stated this as a matter of fact. He wants to play for a team that can get him a title. Where do you believe he ends up?
Well, there's several layers to it, Gil, because, you know, getting a title also enhances his chance of getting into the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. You know, let's face it, his career is in Houston and Arizona. He's putting up good numbers, but he's not winning. He doesn't have that memorable moment or that marquee moment. Certainly, if he can get to a championship, that would help. And so I think he's looking for that in addition to the money. Obviously, the money is a consideration, right? But you know, June 1 is interesting because we got some cap space. I don't know if you saw that, where a lot of teams are opening up some cap space here because of the June 1 designation. So you got the Dolphins, you got the Browns, interesting at about 10 million. You got the Cowboys at about 10 million too. So you got Gallup, Cooks. And then if you look at Gallup and Cooks and then CeeDee Lamb, you know, if Jerry Jones has that strong message that he wants to get to a Super Bowl, he's got about $10 million to play with in terms of trying to attract D-Hop back in the state of Texas. And I think that's interesting right there. Kansas City, obviously, and Buffalo, they've been strong rumors too. But I'm calling my shot. I think he ends up in Dallas. I think Dallas has the cap space to add a player like that. And then also they have the cliche, or the cachet, if you will, the cachet, that, look, it's America's team. You got Dak Prescott. Your numbers are going to be strong. We're going to throw you the rock, but you're going to help us with this receiving core, along with the explosive running back of Pollard, really help us get to the NFC Championship game and perhaps into the Super Bowl as well.
Dave Ross just went crazy hearing this right now. He's like, tell me why that's a bad bet on the Cowboys. That is such an interesting point that you brought up. It's more sports talk radio than it is betting, although where he ends up is ultimately a betting, obviously, right, impactful in that regard, because it's the Hall of Fame thing is fascinating for a guy like D-Hop, because he is one of those guys, right? If this goes poorly the rest of the way, he's not a Hall of Famer. If it goes great, he is a Hall of Famer. So
yeah,
you wonder with each person like that with each player, where does the money Hall of Fame inversely proportional thing happen, right? So if it was an also-ran team, pick your mm-hmm. also-ran, that was right. offering him, I don't know, $20 million more over the course of a contract versus him going to a team that could win him a title and really solidify that Hall of Fame resume, it's always fascinating to see the choices that a player makes in that regard.
Absolutely, absolutely. And let's keep the gambling discussion going. I mean, look at the NFC. Or we could look at the AFC. I mean, like if you look at the AFC, it's an arms race over there, right? And so if he goes to Buffalo, does he move the needle? Or are they going to have to work their cap? They're going to have to make Stephon Diggs happy. I think it's more the same in Buffalo. It just doesn't make sense. Okay, the Chiefs are up there right there too. So can they use the number one wide receiver? But they're going to have to do so much within their cap to fit DeAndre Hopkins within that cap and make sure that he's a fit with what established as well. He's not going to Baltimore. He's not going to New York. We know that. The Patriots are interesting. I mean, I heard about the Raiders, but that's not going to do anything. So if you go to the NFC is a three-team race mm-hmm. currently.
Yeah.
Right. When we look at the odds and we look at the roster of developments as well, teams that could surprise. What you got? The Saints, perhaps, with Derek Carr. You have Detroit that perhaps could surprise. And therefore, Shannon Sharp mentioned, okay, that could be a great location for D-Hop to go to Detroit, too. Does that move the needle? Does it solidify the Cowboys, though? And I think it does solidify the Cowboys because the Cowboys are looking at the Eagles, and all we got to do is beat the Eagles. I think the Cowboys are feeling very confident about their year this year, double-digit wins, the entire career of Dak Prescott so far. So they just need pieces, right? And that's why with the cap space, and the fact that you have that strong message from the top in the NFC, I think it makes a lot more sense for DeAndre Hopkins to land there and therefore influence some of the odds situations, the betting situations with those teams in that conference.
Yeah, we just flashed up the you could bet these at DraftKings. Where does DeAndre Hopkins end up next? Pritch's call on the Cowboys, 25-1. Let's see if Pritch moves this one on the show this morning. The Bills are the short shot at 3-1, the Chiefs 4-1, and then the Ravens and Jets coming in at plus 650 and 7-1. But to your point, NFC, Eagles, Cowboys, Niners, 20-1, 25-1, 25-1, respectively. Yeah. Okay, a couple other things. You brought up the Saints for a second there, so it just occurs mm-hmm. to me. What are they doing? Like, Jameis, Kelly always says this, set Jameis free.
Set him free.
Yeah. Like, so, I mean, he's never getting his shot. I mean, obviously, it's Taysom Hill there. They drafted Jake Haener. But they're going with Derek Carr. That's their big pickup. Like, where does Jameis fall in all this?
You know, he's relegated to a backup. I mean, I think once you're a franchise quarterback and you fail, your entire career or the odds suggest that the rest of your career, if you are in the National Football League, is that you're going to be that popular backup. Now, it's not bad, right? Because you're always going to have a job. So, you know, if your Jameis wins, I know he wants to get back out there. I know he says he's a starter and all that. But, you know, the league looks at him and says, look, you had your time as a franchise quarterback, as a starter. You got to earn that back. And we're going to think about other people before you. It's not until you get an opportunity like a Geno Smith, something like that. Or, you know, if you are, like, for instance, a Kurt Warner, you know, the greatest show on turf in LA or with the Rams in St. Louis and okay, goes to the Giants and stinks up the joints, but then goes out to Arizona and becomes a Hall of Famer. So there could be another opportunity for Jameis. It's just not something that's standing out right now.
And the final question then is right here in Las Vegas, has to do with Las Vegas. Jimmy Garoppolo's pre-existing condition. Mm. So like, I'll just ask, who's their starting quarterback day one? Do you think it's Garoppolo or not?
I mean, they're telling us that it's much to do about nothing. But, you know, playing in this game, Gil, you have a foot injury. And certainly your footwork in the pocket and all your weight on that surgically repaired foot, along with all the other injuries, along with the aging body, it just doesn't bode well. I mean, week one, I can say he's going to be handled with care throughout the offseason and into preseason because he knows he's highly familiar with what Josh McDaniels wants to do. So the test is, I guess, are they going to test it and push it in preseason to find out what he can do? To me, that is rolling the dice, right? I I don't know. I can't call it. I could say Tom Brady.
Yeah, well, that's where I was going next, right? Yeah.
Right. I don't want to do that to you guys. But no, I think there's about a 50-50 chance that Garoppolo is the starting quarterback week one.
It's their start. The Raiders' start is at Broncos, which is never easy.
Right.
At Bills, home Steelers on Sunday night, at Chargers. So, I mean, this could go wayward quickly, I guess is what I'm saying. That's a tough starting four games. You're not connecting. I know I have to bring this up contractually here, Mike.
Yeah.
You're not connecting the dots with Tom Brady? You're not doing that?
I'm kind of connecting them. I'm kind of. The thing about it is Robert Kraft has that celebration week one against the Eagles for Tom Brady and the Patriots. So if that's canceled or if that's not in the works, if you get word that, hey, you know what, there's a delay there, maybe we might sense that Tom might come back.
That's the tell. As good a call as any. Mike, always a pleasure, man. It's great seeing you.
My pleasure. You too. Absolutely. You guys take care.
You too. Mike Pritchard, everybody, at MI Pritchard on Twitter, VSiN's own, VSiN contributor. Your thoughts, Kelly? Do you think it's Jimmy Garoppolo or not? If you had to guess right now, no. That's your sense.
That's my sense.
Tom Brady?
No.
I don't think so either.
Some other bum. Is Jared Stidham still there? Is he still there, Sean?
Was Brady the first bum in that
Hoyer.
Sentence?
Thank you. Hoyer. Brian Hoyer.
You said some other bum. Hoyer.
Hoyer guy. Will be your week one starter, I'm going with.
At Broncos, at Bills, home Steelers, at Chargers. We shall see. We shall see. Wilson Hilson. With his basketball and baseball bets next on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data.
Split bets!
Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you smarter, better year-round. Check them out, all of today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Before we get to Will Hill, Kelly made an outlandish statement in the break. Not that he invented the question mark. Even more outlandish than that. Our favorite NFL stat of all time is this Larry Fitzgerald stat, which is mind-numbing. Could you repeat that to everybody, Kelly?
He has more tackles than drop passes in his NFL career.
Which is just maybe the sickest thing we'll ever hear.
41 tackles, 29 dropped passes.
I mean, that's just the greatest.
It's not even that close.
The outlandish statement is what Kelly decided his second favorite and most incredible stat is in the history of the NFL. Would you like to share that
Jameis
with me?
Jameis Winston's 30-30 season and how it ended up that way in the overtime of that game they play. What, he threw like a pick for them to go to overtime?
Didn't he have like three pick sixes in that game or something?
It was like a pick to go to overtime and then a pick six, I think, walked it off for the other team. I don't know. It was incredible. Just, you know what? Everybody can hate on James, but think about what has to go through an NFL season.
The fact that you can play that long?
Yes.
Yeah.
You could have that many touchdown passes and that a coach doesn't sit you for multiple games at any point during that.
It's a great stat. It's not number two, though.
I love it.
I love it.
But I love chaos.
You love chaos. I love it. Still, Hugo Gaston and the four lets that he got suspended for is still
chaos.
The best.
I love chaos.
That's the best of the show so far. Will Hill always brings chaos to the show. He's got basketball picks. He's got baseball picks. Who knows what else he's betting? He joins us now. VSiN's own Will Hill at not the Will Hill. Two E's on the V. How you doing, Will?
Gil, what's going on? I would throw one more NFL stat there. I don't know if you ever heard this, but Mike Tomlin has never had a losing record.
What? There we go.
That's new to the show. I've never heard that before. We've really been slipping. That's never come up. By the way, Ricky Sanders never fumbled a football. Look at that. Washington Redskins, Ricky Sanders.
Okay, that's ridiculous, too.
Never fumbled a football in all of his touches. I throw that into the mix. Will, let me start with the Eastern Conference MVP. You agree with me? You're allowed to be bummed, but outrage is like a little ridiculous?
Yeah, I mean, look, it was a 5-4 vote. I think, if you made a 2 or 3 minute little dissertation on why Caleb Martin should be the MVP, you could probably talk me into it. If you did the same for Butler, you could talk me into it. Butler did have a great games 1 and 2. I think a lot of Martin's production, and I think I saw the stat, he did not miss a single mid-range shot in the entire series, which is just incredible. The outlier shooting here for Miami just is insane. But I think a lot of that production is probably because so much of the focus, the intentions on Butler, and, you know, Butler's the focal point of the Boston game plan defensively. And that's probably where a lot of those open looks came from. And Butler was great in games one and two, both sides of the ball. So again, it was 51-49, whoever won. I could certainly understand the Martin case. I could definitely understand the Martin frustration. You bet it at 35-40-1,
yep.
And you feel like, hey, it couldn't have gone any better for me, and you still didn't win. So there's definitely some frustration, but I didn't think it was like highway robbery or anything.
Yeah, I'm with you. We recommended on this show before. We're like 25-1, Martin, best bet on the board. Yeah. Somehow that's how the cookie crumbles sometimes. The A's won again. They beat the Braves 2-1. Should Steve Fezzik, with multiple A's under adjusted season win totals bets, should he be quaking in his boots?
No, I mean, anytime you're trying to go under a number that low, any sort of like 3 out of 5, 2 in a row, really puts a wrinkle into the math. But this is still a really bad team. That was a bad spot for Atlanta Monday night. And then they win a 2-1 game last night. I think he's probably still in good shape. And, you know, he's bet him at so many different numbers. I think he was saying that he's probably going to win a good number of them. But I'm on Atlanta today. I laid the money line. I laid the run and a half. Give Oakland credit, though. As poorly as they played, you look up, they're only 27 games out of first place. A little push here, and they can get right back into
it. That's right. A win here, a win there, you never know.
It's really early.
It's only May.
It's not even June 1st. They're 27 games
out. Right. Come on. Much ado about nothing. We'll get back to the NBA Finals, but I wanted to ask you this because you texted about Aaron Judge yesterday. Aaron Judge, who hit 2 homers yesterday. He is right up there once again. Only Pete Alonso has more homers in Major League Baseball than does Aaron Judge. But Judge is, well, he's number one in slugging. He's number one in slugging and on base combined OPS. I mean, he's just having a great year. And you were pointing out, like, he does so many other things that people don't give him credit for as well. He's now 4-1 in the American League MVP market. Only Shohei, right, is a favorite above, and -130. What do you think here with Aaron Judge?
It's funny you bring that up, because I was going to mention to you, you know, Ohtani, I noticed you haven't mentioned him as much this season for whatever reason. Is this the last time to bet Ohtani -130 at a reasonable number? Do you think that's a good bet, or is this another situation where Judge can win it? Does winning it last year hurt him, which I think is a trend that we need to get away from just as sports, like these voters, like, oh, he won it last year, he's ineligible this year. I think it's ridiculous, but there are still some 6-1, some +650s on Judge to win the MVP. He's got 1,100 OPS. Plays a great outfield. I mean, it's hard to trump what Ohtani's going to do, especially if they're going to have a good record. I don't see a bet here. I'll put it that way. I don't see a bet here. If at 6-1, I could see Judge. At 4-1, I wouldn't see it as much. I mean, if you look at that lineup with the Yankees, like Willie Calhoun was batting third. You go 5-9 last night. Kiner Falefa was hitting fifth. And they're still winning games. They're still, 11 games over 500? Judge has an 1,100 OPS. So I think we're probably looking at similar to last year, where it's a two-horse race. Only this year, I mean, Judge has already missed the 10 games, so I don't know if he's going to get to the 60-plus homers. Although I guess he's got 18. He's got a shot. But Ohtani's team's going to have a better record, so I think we're looking at probably another good race here.
Yeah, by the way, it was Judge 1 homer last night, 2 homers the night before. It's 12-plus homers. Here's Katie Sharp. Yankees with 12-plus homers and 15-plus walks in any 16-game span ever. Aaron Judge right now, Babe Ruth in 1930. Oh, wow. What else besides the Braves laying the run and a half today?
I took the Phillies. It's Nola versus Carrasco. Carrasco has seen better days, so I think Nola, as inconsistent as he is, I think that's a good matchup for Phillies. That's around a coin flip. I think it's -115 for Philly, so I did take the Phillies. And I think -105 for Arizona to make the playoffs, to me, is a good bet here for the Diamondbacks. If they win today, they're 10 over. They're favored, pretty good favorite against the Rockies. To me, they're legit with Gallen at the top of the rotation. That's a good lineup. I know. I mean, give credit to your guests. A lot of people, I think it was Mark Borchardt, and I'm trying to think who else, maybe Spore right before the season. Everyone was high on Arizona, and you always worry about that sort of hype team that everybody loves that never, you know, doesn't always go that way. But they're going to sail over their win total to me. I think they're 32-23, something like that. You look around the rest of the National League, I don't know that there's going to be 6 teams better than them to take spots for them. The Padres just can't seem to fire, although that was a pretty good win last night against Miami. I think Arizona -105 is a good bet to make the playoffs. I think that's a good one. And then Phillies -115. And I think that's it along with Atlanta here.
Okay. By the way, just the baseball geekiness of it, since you bring up the D-backs who are playing the Rockies today. Luis Arraez is hitting north of 370. My guy Randall Grichuk of the Rockies, with not enough at-bats to qualify, is hitting 367. And I think we've gotten back to a point in baseball now where if you could flirt with 400, like, it should be a massive story. I'm kind of eyeing that. Like, are you at all keyed into that as well? This would be awesome if we could have a summer where someone flirts with that.
It'd be fun. I don't know that we'll see it, man. That's a quiet 370 for Arraez, though. I mean, that's I remember, what was it? It was Olrude who was flirting with 400 right before the strike, and that was just like every day. It was one of the biggest stories in baseball. It's just one of the biggest stories in sports. We don't really get that national buzz with baseball anymore, but, man, if you could even come close with how good today's pitching is, everybody throwing 100, that's a hell of a story. I don't think he'll be in that mix. I would think he'd cool off, but, man, 370 this late is pretty impressive.
Real quick before we get to your basketball thoughts, AL Cy Young, McClanahan and Cole are shorter shots than Ohtani now. What are your thoughts on that market as it stands?
Nothing really. McClanahan's really good. He lost. He was a tough luck loser last night. What are the odds? I don't have him in front of me.
I don't have him in front of me too. I eyed him the other day where it's this morning where it was. I think Cole is like plus 450. McClanahan's even shorter than that by a little bit, and Ohtani has drifted a little to like 6-1 ish in that area.
Would there be an appetite to give Ohtani the MVP and the Cy Young? I sense there wouldn't be.
No, I would agree with you.
McClanahan plus 350, Garrett Cole 4-1, Shohei 6-1, Joe Ryan 11-1.
Nothing for me. I mean, those are all just too short. Yeah, I'd take a shot at somebody else. Rodriguez, I just saw, is having a great year for Detroit, but he went on the IL. I don't know that I see a bet here. I'd probably look at the middle of the board with either Castillo, somebody like that, Gossman, but I don't see a great bet here.
All right, you betting anything in game one of the NBA Finals? You betting anything for the series?
Some player props I like. I just think it's a tough spot for Miami. Lack of rest. This is just a tough spot to go into with Denver, and I think it's a bad matchup for them. I don't know if Adebayo has the strength to deal with Jokic. They don't have the bodies. You're going to have to dust off Kevin Love or whoever. To me, Denver here is going to win a short series. So I could see a scenario where Denver wins, Butler sits out the fourth quarter, so maybe play some under on some Butler props here.
All right. Will, plug it away, sir.
Twitch.tv/GoBoysNetwork, Go Boys Discord. Appreciate you having me on. Thanks.
Play it again for Fezzik. One more time.
Go Boys Discord.
There you go.
What's Discord?
Will Hill, everybody, at Not The Will Hill. VEASAN's own. Thank you, Will. Appreciate it.
See you.
Matt Brown, co-host of The Handle, talk about his picks for the Memorial. Maybe his thoughts will be on that as well. Numbers Game, VEASAN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event, date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up now for only $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Sloane Stephens gets it done, Kelly, gets it done in a big way. She takes down Varvara Gracheva. Congratulations to all who backed that on the VEASAN's pick page. She gets it done, was it 6-2, 6-1? Yeah, she rolled her. Can't see it exactly. Where it is, where's the score? 6-2, 6-1. So good on that one. And right now we're on Arnaldi currently. That he and Shapovalov, Mateo Arnaldi and Denis Shapovalov, split the first two sets. And they are on serve in the third set in that one. And then the one that hasn't been played yet, Clara Towson is the remaining tennis pick of the day against Leila Fernandez. Got her at minus 126. Clara Towson, the remaining French Open play. Again, all of these at VSiN.com/picks, not just for this show, Kelly and myself, but for every host on every show at the network, including guests, all guests' picks as well, for VSiN subscribers only. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. This is from, where did we leave off? This is from from Primetime at Primetime_bets. Not sure what the best reoccurring conversation on ANG is better, the Tomlin no losing season or Gil's sushi place. They're both excellent. Thank you to PAW at Yep914, who called up Ricky Sanders' career stats. We were talking about our favorite stats. One fumble For Ricky Sanders, I forgot, when Washington had the best trio of receivers in the NFL back in their Super Bowl years, Monk, Clark, and Sanders, the law firm of Monk, Clark, and Sanders. Ricky Sanders, over 500 touches receiving and rushing, one lost fumble. Thank you for pointing that out. I remember last year with Washington, he did have a fumble finally. Until then, he had none. It was an unbelievable thing. Joby, splitting bets, loves that as well. Jesse Welch talking about, oh, hey, Mike Tomlin. And Will Hill bringing that up. What a true football savant he is. Norman Vegas, thank you for the article about, I would assume those are the Fruvertova sisters, without picking that up. And he goes, Jason H11, hey, Gil, in addition to golf picks, why don't you get Matt Brown's thoughts on kicking? Well, it just so happens that we have Matt Brown here with us, co-host of The Handle here at VSiN. You can follow him on Twitter, at Matt Brown M2. How you doing, Matt?
Doing well. Sitting here, about to hop on a tin can, head back to Louisiana for a few days. So looking forward to that.
A tin can, not an iron bird. A tin can, you prefer?
Yeah.
It? Okay. All right. I want to ask you about two things before we get to your golf.
Let's
picks.
Do it.
One, Jason H11 just asked you, is this field goal thing ever happening? For those who missed it, primetime action. What is this? 4, 7, 10 years ago? When was it when we had this bet, Kelly?
Like 3 years ago. Yeah. Around this time sounds about right.
Matt Brown made it. Talk about outlandish claims, Matt Brown. What was it? You could kick 21 yarders with your left foot, or you had to make a certain number. What was it? What were the terms?
There was, I have 3 opportunities to kick a 21 yarder left footed, and I have 5 to kick a 40 yarder right footed.
Okay. Why haven't we done this? Because the barometric pressure hasn't been perfect for you?
Now we're actually good to go.
We're good to go.
I mean, like, listen, hey, Gil, I don't know if you heard. I have some extra time on my hands. So, like, I've got, you know, during the week, I'm good to go. Like, I think this is good. So I'm ready. Let's do it.
Okay.
Let's rock and roll.
The other thing before your golf plays, I know that you are a Las Vegas-wide pickleball hustler, that you go around the entire city hustling people in the sport of pickleball. I'm a tennis guy. Finally picked up the pickleball paddle the other day. There's these new pickleball courts over at Sunset Park.
Yes.
Matt.
There's like a trillion of them.
The entire city of Las Vegas is out there playing pickleball. Everyone is out there. And they're good athletes. Like, they could be playing tennis. It's not like the olds. Why is happening? Why? Why are they not playing tennis?
I think because it's just, it's more social. And I think that the younger kind of, you know, middle-ish to younger generation, you can go out there with like 10 people and the games are so quick that you're just rotating through super fast and everyone can kind of hang out and, oh, I'm going to pair with this guy. Now I'll pair with this guy. Now I'll pair with this guy. You don't have to have like a doubles partner per se where, you know, so I just think the social aspect really has it on the up and up. And man, they're building another massive facility at the north of town too. We're going to have like 200 pickleball courts in
amazing.
Vegas.
I want to see you play because I know you tend to take these things seriously. So I'd love to observe you playing pickleball.
Let's get out there and do it, buddy.
Let's do it. I know you take golf seriously. The Memorial, elevated tournament, as Kelly would say. What do you like here? Who do you like?
Yeah, it's interesting because if you guys listen to Long Shots, which you should have already listened to it already, but if you haven't, it's on your,
twice a week.
It's on your podcast feed, you know, over there. Me and Kelly and Wes, in some way, shape, or form, we landed a lot of the same guys. So I share outrights with Kelly and I share outrights with Wes. So, I have Matt Fitzpatrick, Hideki Matsuyama, Ricky Fowler, and Shane Lowry. And of those four guys, either Kelly has them or Wes has them as well. So we all kind of gravitated towards the same type of player, the same type of guy for this tournament. And listen, these are not the short shot dudes. These are all guys that you're going to find. And I'm looking at the current price at DraftKings, because it doesn't matter what I got it at. They're kind of in that mid 30-ish range. So I don't have any of the shorties, the Scottie Schefflers, the John Rahms, the Patrick Cantlays and stuff like that. As far as outrights go, I think that there's some win equity here for a lot of these guys. Obviously Fitzpatrick, multiple time winner. We know that Hideki, multiple time winner. I think Ricky is going to get back to the winner's circle pretty soon. Gil, we were talking about this on the pod a little bit, but it's no longer just like this little cute feel good story that like, oh, Ricky used to miss all these cuts and now he's actually, you know, now he's actually playing some decent golf. No, Ricky Fowler, if you look over since January, this guy is just up and down, absolutely crushing. And if we were really trying to put a number on it, he'd probably be like a top 15, top 20-ish player on tour this season. And so it's not like Ricky Fowler's no longer terrible. It's like, no, Ricky Fowler's really, really good. And I think that his game can translate to a course like this. This guy, since January, we are talking T11, T10, T20, T31, 13, 17, 10, 15, 14. He did have, he did get cut at the PGA, but then bounced back last week for a T6 at the Charles Schwab. So, I mean, this is just a fantastic season that he's having.
35-1. We may not see these numbers moving forward, the better he does here moving forward. So it is top heavy though, right? The, in addition to Fowler, the Schefflers, Rahms, Cantlays, Schauffeles, McIlroys, Hovlands, and Morikawas of the world. And I stopped, I could have gone on with Jason Day's. Do you believe one of those top players ends up winning this?
I mean, every single version of every model that I ran, it's the guys that you would expect, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's everyone that you just mentioned is basically like one to six, you know, on there. I'm looking right now at the 24 round model. It's Scotty, Schauff, Xander, Cantlay, Rahm, Morikawa, Hovland. Although Morikawa kind of sneaking into the top six there is pretty interesting. But it's, yeah, like you said, it's the usual suspects. It's the dudes that are all at the top. The problem is just the number that's attached to them. Now, I said this as well in the pod, so for complete transparency, because everyone thinks that, you know, we don't actually bet anything, Gil, and that we're terrible at this. And, you know, I am going to a legal sports betting state in about an hour. And when I do that, I'm going to look for some of these bonus bets, and I'm probably going to get in on one of these short shot guys and then get them boosted up to, you know, if I can get Scottie Scheffler at 10-1 or 12-1, as opposed to the 650, because they're giving me, you know, some sort of odds boost or something like that, then I'm going to do it, because the win equity for him, I mean, the guy has not played his A game in several tournaments, and he just continues to top five every single one of these tournaments. Like, if he can get a putt to fall, he's going to win one of these things by like eight. It's going to be ridiculous. Like, if he can ever get some putts to fall. So I am going to do that as well. The only other outright I did have that we didn't all share was Cam Young. And this is a guy that is not a proven winner. He has not yet won on the PGA Tour, but I think he's knocking on the door. His game really does translate well to a course like this, a long course that, as long as he can keep it in the fairway, I think he's going to have a leg up on a lot of these guys. He didn't really pop super high in the models because I factored in a lot of stuff on sand saves and some of the recent form at this particular course and some of the courses that are, you know, similar to this one. Well, you know, he's a young dude, hadn't played much on the tour, so it kind of knocks him down in the model because I did factor all of that stuff in. But when you pull that stuff out and strip it out and look for a different result, then he actually really does climb pretty high too. So I'd rather be ahead of it with Cam Young than behind it and chasing it. So he's the only other outright that I do have on the card that we didn't share amongst the guys on the pod.
Gil, you know how warped our minds are about these markets and how we can't find this stuff in Nevada. This is the second day in a row now I've heard Matt Brown refer to going to a legalized sports betting state. Like, he's not currently in one.
He's not currently in one. I noted that as well. I'm like, should I riff on that or not?
You guys know what I mean.
I know what you mean. Yes, we do.
One where I can find a top 40 market, you know, like, how about that? Like, one where I can find a top 40
market. It's not even asking for that much. Just a top 40 market, my goodness. Yeah. Any head-to-heads? Kelly was picking on, although he didn't mean to do this, on Sung J.M. And who else were you picking on in the Sam Burns? Are you fading them as well generally in this?
I played a bunch of placement stuff really, like, pretty quick with the ones that I could get here. Top five on Cantlay, top 10 on Hovland, a top 20 on Hatton and Thagala. I like both of those guys as well. And Siwoo Kim, baby. Yeah. I know Kelly loves him some Siwoo this week. I like me some Siwoo as well. The biggest discrepancy between where a player showed up in my model and the odds attached to him was Siwoo Kim this week.
One and done legend.
We end on that note. One on when it was the TPC, right?
He helped me win. It was like the first event we did. He won.
Yeah. Matt, always a pleasure. Thank you, man. Travel safely, sir. Kelly and I wrapping things up on the other side. Potpourri next. Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points so you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas? Well, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points so you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Skill Alexander, Kelly Bidlin here as well. Producer number 9. So much more than a producer. Kelly, do you identify as a producer or as a on-air host? What do you identify as?
Everything.
Okay. Just curious.
Nueve? 10-9?
Nueve.
In Espanol? Yeah. We're trying to learn. We're learning here at a numbers game.
For those listening in Spanish, nueve.
Yeah. I'm counting you down to break in Espanol.
Corbin on Twitter. We get tweets. He said, well, since everyone's sharing their vacation picks, my vacation is listening to a numbers game, spreading mulch at the Sylvan Lake Walmart, real hot spot for tourism. If you didn't know, Gil might want to swing by sometime. And he has a nice picture of, well, just a Walmart.
I like that one more. Send us more pictures of where you're working at, not where you're vacationing.
Or just where you listen to the show. I appreciate that.
Makes me jealous when I see beaches. Boats and stuff.
Then we mentioned the Ricky Sanders stat earlier on the show. Well, I appreciate this is from a Mr. Masterline who is showing a StatMuse graphic. Kelly Bidlin, do you know who the running back is in the NFL that has the current running back in the NFL that has played the most games without a single fumble lost?
No clue.
Philip Lindsay. 59 games played, not a single fumble lost in 637 attempts. How about that?
That's damn impressive.
It is damn impressive.
Oh.
Yeah. There you go. An additional thing there. By the way, talking about spreading out the audience, Kelly, I failed to ask Matt Brown what his thoughts on Vanderpump were. I'm just trying to cast the widest net that I can.
Oh, I bet he has some.
Dude, that guy's totally watching tonight.
Oh, I bet he has some.
that guy probably has a party at his house watching this tonight. We have some more props we wanted to get to in the NBA Finals, though, because these are super creative. And by the way, shout out to DraftKings and anybody who's putting up all these creative props. I know there's certain books out there that like to poo-poo. Well, how much are they allowing you to put on those bets? Well, yeah, maybe you should just put them out there, though. If you're not putting them out at all, maybe you shouldn't throw cast stones at others.
A numbers game investigation. Matt Hicks, thank you for this, because I had to check on this when you said the name as well. Philip Lindsay, XFL running back now.
Yes, he's no longer in the
NFL. No longer.
I'm sorry, I said current. That's correct. Yeah, he is not caught on.
I mean, currently. You know, he's a running back, so sure, he could end up on a roster this year. I don't think that would shock anybody.
Other non-fumbles. By the way, the whole thing with this is we're talking about, I mentioned fumbles lost. Really, it's about the fumbles, right? The recoveries are luck.
Mm-hmm.
He had no fumbles.
Yeah, that's
forget
incredible.
Recovery. He had no fumbles. Let me be more accurate.
What the heck happened to him? He had those couple good years in Denver.
You know what my thing was? You know what my very eyeball scouting report was of Philip Lindsay? And for me to notice this about him says something. And by the way, people who have not played the game, laymen's, the one position where I think we have like some sense of is a running back, because it's the simplest of them all. He always, whenever you had the shot of him in an open field, he always seemed to take the wrong cut. You notice that about Philip Lindsay? Like, mm-hmm. Philip, if you just cut to the left, you would have gone to the house. But no, he just ran right into the linebacker.
Man, that career in my mind was a lot longer than it was.
Yeah, short.
I mean, it was 2 years in Denver, 2018, 2019, where he went for over 1,000 yards, 9 touchdowns 2018, 7 touchdowns 2019, and then it just fell off from there.
Yeah. I love stats like that. And that whole thing I was talking about with Will, which is these guys who are hitting like 370-ish right now in baseball, I got my eye on that. I wish there were, like, I would love an old-school summer of baseball where someone flirts with 400. Come on, Arias. Come on, Grichuk. Get it done.
Any player in MLB finishes over 365.
What's the
number? Yes or no?
Great number to set. I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say somebody does it this year.
Wow, okay.
It's going to be tough, but I'm going to say somebody does it. Have a feeling. And in this era of baseball, or this new era, that's unbelievably impressive. So we have a few more NBA Finals props we want to get to as well. Bets you can make. Shop around.
In legalized sports betting states.
Legalized sports betting states. Apparently Matt Brown doesn't know that this is one of them.
He said that yesterday on Long Shots, too, and I let it go. I couldn't let it go today.
He doesn't drive to Arizona. He flies there. Is that what I'm learning also? I know he's not going there now.
Because
Fair is over there now, so it has a reason to hang out, I guess.
Yeah, you also got to remember, though, it's 45 minutes for us to get to the border. To get to Phoenix is three plus hours.
Oh, so that's where he's going, yeah.
That's where he was going.
As opposed to those of us who just take the rocket ship over the border instead of watching, you know, instead of looking at the beautiful, majestic, you know, Hoover Dam, we just make a bet over there.
Mm-hmm.
What do you got? What's the next prop here?
Finals MVP. Any thoughts on that? Oh, we haven't really talked about it.
We really,
that
yeah, that's true. Yeah. We haven't. But I think that what Nick Whalen brought up is the biggest point, right? Let the Eastern Conference Finals be, you know, a learning experience for those who Raheem Palmer said it, which is, hey, it's gonna go to the big name. I asked them that before Game 7, and as well as Caleb Martin played, and we recommended a 25-1. I say, hey, is this not the best bet? He's like, no, because they're gonna give it to the big name, and they did. Nikola Jokic is -360. Jimmy Butler for the underdog Heat, which makes sense, would be +330. Everybody else is 20-1 or longer, beginning with Jamal Murray. True or false, Kelly, the only bets one could recommend pre-flop are Jokic, Butler, and Murray.
True. True. And the way I said it yesterday, I think, you know, if we do the simple, hey, if one out of every 20 times this is played, mm-hmm. does Jamal Murray win this award? Yes. I think he probably yes. does.
He wins it 1.78 times.
Like, this is so, but it's not good enough odds for me to bet it, right? Like, I need, if there's 35s out there, I'd probably take a little bit of a shot on him.
In the Nikola Jokic case, even though he did win the Western Conference Finals MVP, do you think there will be the makeup sentiment for him not getting the full season MVP if all things were equal? In other words, if Jamal Murray went off, Nikola Jokic had a Jimmy Butler-like mm-hmm. series that Jimmy Butler just had in the Eastern Conference Finals, they're going to give it to Jokic as a makeup call? Will that sentiment bleed into people's thinking?
Gil, as you often bring up, we in these types of conversations in betting markets, mm-hmm. we are handicapping the minds of voters.
Of humans.
I don't think you can possibly think about this award without having that in the back of your mind at least a little bit.
I agree.
So, you know, I think you brought it up before. It's always worth bringing up whenever we talk about, you know, NBA Finals MVP or the Super Bowl or whatever, right? If you can get a better price, this is Jokic to win the NBA Finals MVP is heavily correlated to Denver winning.
I so badly want to come up on here and be like, oh, Michael Porter Jr., 100-1, if he just has a couple games where he goes off. But
that's
no.
the best you're going to get. The best yeah. you're going to get is a couple games where
yeah.
he goes off.
Yeah.
And then he's going to drop 8 and 7 into yep. others.
All right, what do we got besides MVP? Which, sorry about the non-sexy answer there, but I really do think you have to be top-heavy or nothing there. This is total points leader.
I like this.
So whether it's 4 games, 5 games, 6 games, or 7 games, who has the most points? It's addition that we're talking about here. Just add them all up. Nikola Jokic +115. Jimmy Butler +160. Jamal Murray +250. Everybody else 25-1 or longer. That's probably a +250 bet on Murray, right?
Ooh, I would. I bet Jokic.
You did.
I think. I haven't, but I would. I think Jokic. Would. I think Jokic should be minus money in this. This is
really
Jamal Murray's gonna be dealing with a lot of Jimmy Butler in this series on defense. Like, I think he's gonna have this. Remember, this is total points leader. Right?
Total points leader
throughout the entire 7 games.
Yes.
We're gonna get to another market. We might run out of time.
You don't think Jamal could have like a 40 and a 36 in there?
I think he could, but I think Jokic is going to be pretty consistent, like 30 every single night.
Oh, he's definitely the pace car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think he's got. Now, there is a market for highest scoring game. I think Jamal Murray he's the bet there.
Okay. Highest scoring game, Nikola Jokic +135, Jimmy Butler +170, Jamal 2-1. I get what you're screaming right there. I hear what you're screaming.
Because he's the guy, like we were talking about those other props before, right? Of how many of these guys can really go for 40 or 50. Jamal Murray is the most capable of anybody that's out there.
I guess the headline in all this, though, is for a series that many people will think will be not much of a competition, even those of us that love the Heat are worried about that and believe that the Nuggets will win this and win this in dramatic, in convincing fashion. It really is Jokic, Butler, and Murray, and you can't really recommend anybody else in any of these, at least the ones we discussed right there. We'll discuss more of these tomorrow on the show, see if we can't go beyond those three. A lot of creative props out there, and good on some of the sports books for getting creative with it, if you will. Good luck with all your bets. The Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.